All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here on a beautiful Monday, Tim. Absolutely gorgeous. 60 degrees already this morning. I'm having a great day. I cannot complain. It's beautiful. But I will say this. I've been inundated with people wanting to know how your weekend went. Nonstop. Messages, voicemails, calls, letters, physical letters. How did Tim's weekend go with the girlfriend and the mom? People want to know. They're invested. It's a big thing when you introduce your girlfriend to your mom for the first time. You have to get the stamp of approval. I want to know if Deirdre liked her or if she thought she was the worst. Not for my boy. He's too good for her. What happened? Where did you take them? All right. The floor is yours, Tim. I don't know anything. I want to know everything.
Well, okay. The weekend was good. My mom came in Friday afternoon and she had been before. So we walked around the city a bit and then went to dinner to celebrate her birthday, which was 2 weeks ago. So I said, you know, I'll take you out when you come down. But that was really nice. Italian restaurant, which is very different from the Italian restaurants up in Boston and the North End and all that, because it's new and modern and big. And the North End is the opposite, but it was great. And then Saturday morning, we drove out. Her cousin just bought some property in Ellenboro, North Carolina.
Mom's cousin.
My mom's cousin, yep. About an hour west of me. And it actually reminded me of your road. Like, it's like a road off a road off a road, and then there's a dirt driveway into the woods. And it was like super remote. But that was really nice. Big piece of property, lots of land, brought the dog and they played. And then we came back Saturday afternoon and went to this place in Charlotte called Camp North End. It used to be like an automobile factory back in like the 40s and 50s for the war effort and stuff, and was like dormant for many years and now turned into like one of those up and coming, like just new edge, like renovated factory feels. And it has like
a warehouse district type
thing. Yeah, shops. It looks like it's like a whole little campus. It's really cool. Has a bunch of like little restaurants where you walk up to the window and order food and just take it wherever you want to go sit. And it's very popular. They have live music and games and stuff for the kids, and it was great. And so, yeah, Julia and my mom met there, and it went well. It went really well, I think. So, yeah, not a whole lot to say more than that, I think. But I think they liked each other, and it went very well.
Did they shake hands or hug?
Hug. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. It was good. That's all you're going to say?
Well, I mean, what else is there? We chatted and got to know each other, and
what did your mom say when Julia left?
All good things. You know, she's lovely and independent, very smart. It was good. My mom is kind of a woman of few words anyway. So, but it was really good. It was good.
Interesting. Yeah, good. Well, I'm happy for you. That's exciting. That's a big step.
Yeah. And not everyone does this with thousands of people listening. So, how fun is that for me?
Well, what's the logical next step?
Just keep spending more time together. Actually, I think I'm going to go up to Michigan. She's from Michigan.
You're going to propose up here?
Stop. But this summer, her family. So you live in Traverse City, which is like the pinky of Michigan. Her family's from Lansing, but they have a
thumb.
They have a house on the thumb on Port Austin. It's a little tiny. It's like Sutton's Bay up there. So
Traverse City's the thumb.
Traverse City's the pinky.
It's the thumb.
No. It's the pinky.
You're extending your arm like you're back in Germany. You got to be careful. It's okay. Anyways, that's exciting. You're going to propose this summer. I'll be there.
No,
stop. I'll be there. I think it's exciting when the family's around. I regret my proposal. I wish I would have incorporated more family.
I'm going to cut that clip. Just that 2 seconds. I regret my proposal.
Send it to Daniel. I regret my life totally. That's funny. All right. Well, good. I'm glad it went well. I think all the people who were wondering, all the women, all our female fans are a little upset because they were hoping it was going to crash and burn. They would have a chance. And they still do. You're not married. There's no ring on it yet. Right, Tim? There's still time.
Still time for me to blow it.
Oh, Julie, if you're listening, don't blow it. Tim's a catch. All right. Let's move on. Speaking of blowing it, Tim. There's been a lot of NHL teams who are just absolutely blowing their chance of the playoffs. But before we get into that, you know what time it is. This episode is brought to you by Bet99. It's voted number one. Number two, not number three. It's voted number one online gaming experience in Canada with same game parlays, player props, flash bet markets. Who does the voting, do you think? Is it just Bet99 who votes? It's just them, like
Canadian Gambling Commission.
An in-house vote. Straw poll, who thinks we're the best? We do. But they're the best, and you can elevate your experience at Bet99. Today's pick, very excited. Tage Thompson. If you haven't been listening to the show, he's my man crush. I think he's a fantastic human being and a pretty good hockey player. So he's on fire right now. He's scored in three straight games, 10 goals, 17 points in his last 11 games. I wish we could have saw this earlier in the season. It's kind of like too little too late for Tage, but he's definitely asserting his dominance. Kyle Okposo's gone. The captain's gone. I think he's stepping up and saying, this is my team. But he's our pick, Tage Thompson. And in order for you to play, you have to be 19 plus. You got to play responsibly. Only available to people in Ontario, Canada. Because Bet99 is built by Canadians for Canadians. Pause is crucial. Because it's very dramatic. You can't just go built by Canadians for Canadians. You need to make it dramatic. People like that, Tim. You got to know. Do you do that with Julia? When you're talking, you got to pause and then keep talking. It really keeps them hooked. It's good. But anyways, speaking of train wrecks, speaking of just blowing it, speaking of just potential doom, there are a couple teams who are facing the prospect of an early summer, no playoffs, because you blew it. See how I paused there? Because you absolutely let a chance slip away to make the playoffs. And the teams obviously we're talking about are the Philadelphia Flyers and the Washington Capitals. These two teams, I don't want to say they were solid in a playoff position or, you know, miles ahead for the next closest team. But for the majority of the season, those two teams were, specifically the Philadelphia Flyers, were in the playoffs. The Capitals were there too. And when it comes down to crunch time, you want your best players to step up. You want to be playing your best hockey. You want to be a cohesive unit. Your coaches, your GMs, your players, everything coming together for the last final push. Because everybody knows in the last month of the season, it's playoff hockey. It's do or die. Articles going around, oh, this is a must win for this team. Heck, I was seeing articles for the Buffalo Sabres last week. Them trying to ramp up some commotion, some momentum. This do or die for the Sabres. That was a month ago for the Sabres, the do or die. But they're still trying to hold on to this last little bit of hope. And they're still in it. There's a few teams that are still in it, but theoretically they're done. The Devils, the Sabres, these teams, they're done. When you look at teams like the Philadelphia Flyers, the Washington Capitals, they were in a playoff position. They had a healthy lead on other teams. The last month of the season, they have both, for whatever reason, has fallen off. And it's different for each team. And we're going to dig into that. But first, Tim, let's talk about who. The teams maybe that are pushing them. The teams that are taking advantage of the opportunity of these teams maybe just choking a little bit when it comes to pressure time. Let's start with the New York Islanders, a team that I said was dead in the water 3 weeks ago. Losing games, a coaching change, Patrick Waugh coming in, not really changing much. Same winning percentage as a previous coach, yelling a little bit more in practice. But all of a sudden, this team, all it takes now, they've won four in a row. So not exactly setting the world on fire, but winning the games that they should win. Playing easy teams who are below them in the standings and winning. Playing the Hawks, they beat the Hawks. Playing the Blue Jackets, they beat the Blue Jackets. And playing a pretty huge game for them, the Philadelphia Flyers, and beating the Philadelphia Flyers. That's all it takes. Win a couple games, all of a sudden the Islanders went from an afterthought to now they're in the playoffs too. If the playoffs started today, they are in the playoffs. How did they do it? How did the New York Islanders make this happen?
It's amazing. Just a couple of weeks ago, it was a three-team race for two spots, and now it's a five-team race because of what they'd done as well as Pittsburgh. And like you said, you can't control the schedule. You beat the teams in front of you. And the Islanders had an easy stretch where they played Philly, Chicago, Columbus, and then a tougher game against Nashville. They blanked them 2-0 over the weekend. And all of a sudden, they're third in the Metro. They jumped ahead of the Flyers, the Capitals, the Penguins. That really no one saw coming. I think probably the biggest thing is the goaltending that they've gotten from both Varlamov and Sorokin. Varlamov had the shutout over the weekend, and during this four-game win streak, they're averaging about 1.5 goals against, which is just basically lights out. And, you know, we talked about the teams that are playing their best hockey at the most important time of year. Right now, that's the New York Islanders. They're beating the teams they should beat. And they have, say, a middle-of-the-road schedule the rest of the way. They do have the Rangers twice. Those are tough games. But they also have some very winnable games, including the Canadiens and the Devils. And then, of course, Pittsburgh to end the season. And that's going to be one of those, you know, calendar circle type games. There's a few of those that we'll talk about where all these teams are playing each other. But right now, the Islanders have played very well, and their fate's in their hands, and they're looking pretty good for it.
Yeah, and the guy who's been the guy has been Matthew Barzal. I've been watching a few games of these New York Islanders, and he's been absolutely fantastic. I've been hard on him. I'm critical of him just because he makes a lot of money, and he really doesn't show. He does, you know, the bare minimum in my mind for being one of the lower-end superstars. You want to see him do more. He's been fantastic the last month of the season. He has carried this team when they have no business being in a game. He has just been incredible, creating chances, using his speed, pretty much just single-handedly dragging Bo Horvat into some place sometimes because Bo didn't look like he was too engaged a lot of the times, and all of a sudden he just is wide open in front because Matt Barzal dumps it in, goes, gets the puck, circles around the net, cuts back, and just feeds Bo Horvat in the middle. He's wide open. So he's been absolutely phenomenal. And then you mentioned the goaltenders. This is the reason why they're so good. Sorokin, Varlamov, they're incredible. They really, everybody talks about Shesterkin with the Rangers. He's great too, but boy, oh boy. This Sorokin's a special kid. He's been doing it for a long time now. Gets overshadowed a lot by Shesterkin, but he's a heck of a goal. Now he's got Patrick Waugh as a coach. Imagine that. Just having arguably the best goaltender of all time just come in and be your head coach and mentoring you. The types of things that he would pick up. Patrick Waugh would just drop some nuggets here and there. Well, you know, maybe try this in this situation. Maybe do this. Maybe be a little more aggressive. Maybe hug the post. Like, it just conversations they would have. But good for the Islanders. I'm excited for them to get into the playoffs because they have one of those teams. We talked about the Pittsburgh Penguins in the same vein where all they got to do is get in. If they get in, they do have a dangerous team. They have a veteran-laden lineup. They have pretty good defense. And they have those goaltenders who can absolutely steal a game every once in a while. So do I want them in there? Not really, because I don't really like Lou Lamoriello. I think he's butchered this team. But I do think they would, you know, win a couple games in the first round. They do have a fairly solid lineup. But it's not done yet. We still have a lot of hockey to play. Who else is taking advantage of the losses of these two teams, the Flyers and the Capitals, too?
Well, I'll jump down to the Detroit Red Wings next. They currently have, at the stands today, the second wild card spot. They beat Buffalo yesterday, which gave them a critical 2 points to put them 1 point ahead of Pittsburgh, Capitals, and the Flyers. They got 84 points. They play both the Capitals and the Penguins this week. Those are going to be just two absolutely huge games. And I love that, by the way. Like, the fact that these teams are playing each other, the race is so tight. We haven't seen this in years. I feel like as long as you and I have done this podcast, it's always been maybe one or two teams, maybe there's a late push somewhere. We haven't seen this. There's a five-team race for two spots, and they're all playing each other this week. It's just really, really cool. So they have the remaining schedule this week is the Capitals, Penguins, Toronto, and then they end with Montreal in Montreal. So probably a pretty easy schedule as long as they can beat those teams that they're matching up against. And the Toronto's the tough one, obviously, but the Detroit right now is going to be in the playoff spot.
The beautiful thing about this is they control their own fate. And that's really all you can ask because they were scuttling a month ago. They couldn't find any consistency. Dylan Larkin went down, then he came back, and then he went down again. And much like Matthew Barzal, the guy who's held them together is the 37-year-old vet who they bring in mid-season who's just been absolute dynamite. Coming off of hip surgery, Patrick King, friend of the show. He's been lights out for this team. He's playing like he's 21 years old. It's really fun to watch. So I don't know if they make the playoffs. I'm less bullish on this team than I am the Islanders. I feel like the Islanders are playing pretty good hockey. I don't know. I don't know about these Detroit Red Wings. They're playing good. I do think they're beatable. But it is fun. I agree with you. These consequential games this week are going to be huge. Basically, whoever wins, obviously, is going to make the playoffs. But who's the hotter team? The Wings, the Penguins, the Capitals? Who do you trust more? Because they all have their faults. Every single one of them has cracks. And I think it's whoever makes the least amount of mistakes is going to win. I don't trust any of them so far. But let's not bury the lead yet. Let's go on to the Pittsburgh Penguins, a team who I think has taken advantage of most of the falters and the lack of finishing of these teams ahead of them. Because the Pittsburgh Penguins tip traded Jake Guentzel, massive losing streak. We went over it last week. They were dead in the water. Calls for Sidney Crosby traded. That's how crazy it was getting. Is Sid the Kid going to be traded at the deadline? Not liking what Kyle Dubas is doing. Very upset by the direction of the team. Just a ship without an udder. Just dead in the water. All of a sudden, they get a couple wins. 2 in a row, 3 in a row, 4 in a row, 5 in a row. Don't look now. They're 4-0 in April, and they have had the hardest schedule. Remember we talked last week? They needed to get 9 out of a potential 13 points or something to make a good number in order to make the playoffs.
Yep.
Well, they beat the Rangers. They beat the Devils. A huge win versus the Capitals. And then this weekend, they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, who've been playing very, very good. Sidney Crosby. Every time I check the box score, every time I check the game, it's Crosby. He is the one who is pushing this team. And now, obviously, friend of the show, Alex Nedeljkovic, is playing great hockey himself. But it's Sid the Kid. He's playing lights out town. He's dragging everybody with him. He's dragging Rust. Carlson's been playing good. Letang, Malkin. He's setting the tone for this team, and that's a beautiful thing if you're a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. It is fun to watch. What do you think of the Penguins?
Yeah, you asked who you're like most impressed by, who you trust. It's got to be Pittsburgh. Out of this group, you know, the Islanders also have a 4-game winning streak, but they beat the Flyers and the Hawks in Columbus. They beat the Rangers and the Devils and the Capitals and the Lightning. Like these are good teams that are playing very tough hockey right now. And right now, technically, they're just 1 point behind Detroit for the second wildcard spot. The thing that's, you know, makes me a little bit nervous about them, even though they have Crosby, they have Nedeljkovic, they're probably the most talented on team on paper of this group. They have a real tough schedule. They've got Toronto tomorrow. They've got Detroit, which is going to be a must-win for both teams. And they have Boston this week. And then not to mention Nashville and the Islanders next week. So this is a really tough stretch for the rest of the way. All these teams are playing for something. Boston, by the way, wants to win the Eastern Conference because they want to play the second wild card spot. No one wants to play Tampa in the first round. So it's between Boston and the Rangers. So they're playing for something too. So every one of these games matters. And I feel like that's probably the part that makes me the most nervous, but I'm still feeling pretty good about Pittsburgh having a spot at the end of the day.
Yeah, they have most regulation wins out of all these teams too. So all they have to do is tie. That's basically what they are trying to do right now. They all have 5 games left. Ugh, it's so fun. Everybody's played 77 games. They're all within 2 points, and they all play each other. It's absolutely amazing. All right, let's talk about the two teams that have just – the wheels have fallen. They had the cookie. They were holding it. They were going to make the playoffs, and then it's just absolute train wreck. A team maybe not as bad as the Philadelphia Flyers or Washington Capitals. They lost to the Ottawa Senators last night. And when you look back, on games you should have won. I talked about this last week when I played for the Wild. Like just crunch time games. I was talking about games that I played in October and November. Once you get to April, you have to win these games. I don't know how you can go home after a game and just feel good about yourself. You just lost to the Ottawa Senators. team that just has no business being even in the rink at this time. You should be diving in front of pucks. You should be doing everything you can to win games. This is a veteran team. This, to me, just reeks of A, you're not prepared, and B, maybe you're not that good of a team. And I think both of those ring true for both of these teams. Washington Capitals were a fun story. They're playing maybe above their weight class. They're winning some games. Remember, we talked about it all season long. We don't know how they're doing it. Their underlying numbers aren't great. They're not a good possession team. They're, I think, have a negative goals for, goals against on the season. But they just seem to manage to win. They find a way to win. They give up more shots. They take an enormous amount of penalties. Their power play's garbage. Their PK is okay. But they still win games. Well, I think that's starting to show a little bit. Because this is crunch time, baby. And they can't seem to handle it. Lose to the Senators. Lose to the Hurricanes this past weekend. Now they're out of the playoffs. They dropped six in a row, Tim. Six in a row. But they still have hope. The remaining schedule is advantageous for them. Play Detroit, must-win game. They play Buffalo, got to have those 2 points. Buffalo's been a thorn in people's side the last week and a half. They are just like wrecking dreams. Then you play T-Bay, Boston, and Philly. They have five really, really, really good games coming up that they have to come out with 7 or 8 points. And if they don't, heads are going to roll. Have to with the position they put themselves in. But the good thing is Ovi's scoring. So all is right in the world. So as long as Ovi scores, everybody's going to be happy. What do you think of the Caps, Tim? Is this an epic collapse, or is this just a team coming down to earth? And it was a fun story for 70 games.
Is it weird to say both? Because like in one sense, they probably outperformed just about everyone's expectation this year. But at the end of the day, you had the points, you had the wins, and you let it slip through your fingers. And now you're in a spot where it's going to be very tough to nail down a playoff spot. What's interesting, too, is that they have an identical record to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Both teams are 36, 30, and 11. Identical. Pittsburgh has the head-to-head matchup, so they're technically the tiebreaker. And these two teams don't play each other again, which is a bummer, because I would love to see Ovi and Sid go at it for a playoff spot, you know, one more time. Capitals do have an easier schedule than some of the other teams we're talking about, but I just don't believe in them. You lose six in a row. You lose to the Senators with your playoff chances on the line. Like, it's just... there's nothing here to really get me excited. And even if they were to do it, it's not a team I'm looking forward to watching in the playoffs. So I want to say that they're probably going to be done here.
Yeah, I would think so. Because going back to the previous four losses, it was the Penguins, the aforementioned Sabres, who are just dream killers. You lose to the Bruins and the Leafs. But yeah, those games versus those bottom-dwelling teams are the ones that they look back on and they go, oh my goodness, how do we lose to the Blue Jackets? How do we lose to the Sabres? How do we lose to the Hawks? It stings. It stings a lot. And the team that's going to sting the most at the end of the day is this team right now. It's the Philadelphia Flyers. We talk about teams maybe, you know, it was a great story. Just like the Capitals. It was good. They played good. They were playing maybe better than they should have played. They're finding a way to win. And now they're coming down to earth. That happens. Rightfully so. Then you talk about self-inflicted wounds. Talk about a team that was in a great position to make the playoffs. Everything was going right. They were playing really good hockey. They were all pulling the rope at the same time. They were getting contribution up and down the lineup. Everything was going good. You're getting a supposed star goaltender coming in from Russia who you can slot into your lineup because you maybe could use some goaltender help. And then your coach does what he does. He interjects himself into the locker room because he thinks, you know what, maybe my captain is not playing so good. We need to shake things up. Why? I don't know. But it feels to me that this 7-game stretch to run, where they've lost 7 straight, they're playing terrible, is all John Tortorella. And I hate to say it because I like Torts, but sometimes you make a move and it's the wrong move. And he read the room wrong. He thought he could shake up this roster. He thought he could maybe, you know, give him a little jolt for the playoffs, the last, you know, 15-game push. Well, he made a mistake. And now since his healthy scratch of Sean Couturier, they're 1-5-3. They're playing absolutely atrocious hockey. And unlike the Pittsburgh Penguins, unlike the Detroit Red Wings, they're losing to terrible teams. Awful. Not awful. NHL teams. Teams who are in the lottery, Tim. Teams that have no business playing on the same ice surface as you. If you're battling for a playoff spot, there should be a distinct different level of compete out there, especially for a John Tortorella team. You're losing to my Chicago Blackhawks. You're losing to the Buffalo Sabres, who name keeps coming up over and over again. You're losing to the Columbus Blue Jackets. You're losing to teams that you should be waxing. You should be outworking. You should be beating. And this all comes after John Tortorella challenged his team. I'm benching my captain. He's not working hard enough. My team's soft. You got to do it my way. Well, apparently your way sucks. Apparently your way is 1-5-3. Apparently your way is losing 7 straight of the most important games of the season. How does that feel? Going back 1 month, today's April 8th, 1 month ago, March 8th, you were 2 points ahead of the Tampa Bay Lightning in the standings. And you had the same amount of games played. 2 points ahead of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Fast forward to today, 30 days later, you're 10 points behind the Tampa Bay Lightning. And they've played one less game. That's bonkers. In 30 days, Tim, maybe 12 games total, and you're 10 points behind them? And they still have a game in hand, so they could potentially be 12 points ahead of you in 1 month time? Atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. If someone should not be sleeping at night, it's John Tortorella. But do you think he's blaming himself?
Well, this is what we come around to as well, because they wouldn't have even been in this spot if it not for Tortorella. Like, this should have been a lottery pick, a lottery team entering the season, and he brought them up, and then he brought them back down, you know? And so I feel bad for the Flyers fans, because everything was going right, and there was so much to be excited about, and you didn't have any expectations of going on a run or anything like that, but you were just playing good hockey, surprising people. You basically had a playoff spot, like, to lose, and then you lost it, and you lose 7 straight. Did you see that stat? They lost 6-2 on Saturday to Columbus. 6-2, 6 goals from defensemen from Columbus, which is a franchise record for them, which is
and then
a tough way to go.
4-2 to the Sabres. So on the weekend where you have to have both wins, you lose total score of 10-4. Just like, what are we doing here? It's not good enough. It's almost comical, the collapse that they've had, because the thing that they prided themselves on was just being in the game, being in the fight. And they've given up. It's like a boxer who's just like thrown in the towel. I'm done. And that's too bad. And he's lost a room. I know he had that big press conference. We talked about it on Friday. I think he's lost a room. And now it's solidified. You cannot come back from this. I want to see them come back from it. They're behind the eight ball. They've already played one more game. They're staring up at 4 teams. It's crazy how far they've fallen and how fast they've fallen. It'll be an interesting offseason for the Philadelphia Flyers. And what makes it even worse is, like you said, they were good. And I don't know who's to blame for, or who's to take credit for the first 70-some games. I know Torch is going to take credit for it. Yeah. But who's going to take credit for the downfall? Because he should take credit for that, too. He should own that. I had him. Yeah. I coached him into a good spot, but I ruined it. I tried to tinker too much. And it's a very real thing, everybody. Coach interjects. He tries to push buttons. He tries to, you know, motivate players. Just you ruin it. And the mentality of a player is a very real thing. You see it when a player changes area codes and he goes plays for a different team, and he just either takes off or just shuts right down. Jonathan Huber. It's a real thing. So, all right, we've gone over the 5 teams. Who's gonna make this playoff team? That it'll be done in a week and a half. That's it. You know, the playoffs are around the corner. It's April 8th right now. The playoffs, like, when's the last game? April 18th? It's coming. 10 games from now. Week and a half. This is our final. Well, not our. We'll probably do it again. Who's going to make the playoffs now? It changes every 3 days. It's just crazy. Because we'll do a show on Wednesday. Philly will win 2 games. Then we'll be in a playoff spot. Detroit won't win. And then Pittsburgh isn't going to win. So it's so finicky how this changes. But as it stands today, the Red Wings are in the second wildcard spot. The Islanders own the 3rd spot in the Metro. Pittsburgh, Washington, and Philadelphia are all on the outside looking in. Who do you got going in? Who's your second wildcard spot, first of all?
And that's the crazy thing. Like, as bad as some of these teams have been, as good as the others have been, all 5 of these teams we just talked about are within 2 points of each other. Like, anything could happen. My prediction is that for the 3rd spot in the Metro is going to go to the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think they're going to jump ahead, jump the Islanders. And the second wild card spot, I believe, is going to be the Detroit Red Wings. I think the Islanders fall out. I think the Caps and the Flyers stay out. And those 2 teams lock it down in the next 10 days.
Yeah, I like it. I agree with you with the Islanders. And I'm going to take the Penguins. I think those 2 teams are going to. I don't think the Red Wings slide in. for whatever reason, I like the Islanders and the Penguins more. I feel like they have some more in the tank for whatever reason. And in Detroit, you know what scares me about Detroit? Those two games versus Montreal, back to back, home and away. Those will be the sticklers. I think they'll be in it, and then they'll lose both those games for whatever reason. I don't know. But yeah.
Who do you have in which spot? Who do you got?
I have Pittsburgh being the third seed in the Metro, and the Islanders being the second wildcard spot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
It'll change. It'll change in a heartbeat, and we'll be talking on Wednesday or Friday, and it'll be completely flipped around because there's a lot of hockey to play. There's an absolute lot of hockey to play. It'll be fun. I'm excited to see it. It's a beautiful time. You mentioned it earlier. This doesn't happen very often. Usually the seeds are locked in. All these teams have an X beside them. They've all made the playoffs, and they're kind of maybe jockeying for position. This is rare because you look in the West is locked up. We know who's making the playoffs in the West. It's basically who's going to get that third spot in the Pacific. Is it the Kings or is it the Golden Knights? Other than that, everybody knows who's making the playoffs in the West. This is fun stuff. Doesn't happen, especially with five teams, Tim. Gary Bettman must just be loving it. He's so excited. It's good stuff. All right, Tim. What are we talking about next?
Let's wrap up with some quick hits. With our limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their order of DoorDash for $15 or more. Use the promo code NATION25. Offer valid in Canada. Subject to change. Terms apply. The Avalanche forward Mikko Rantanen placed in concussion protocol after a hit over the weekend. He's out. He's day-to-day, but he's skating on his own. Not expected to be out for too long. They're just being careful with him because of the time of year. But he'll be back probably before the playoffs. Another cool thing, Brady Tkachuk, did you see the night that he had against the Devils the other night on Saturday?
He lost a hit.
Yeah, 16 hits, which is the most ever in a game since they started tracking this. And the most before that was Zadorov, actually, friend of the show, with 15. Just an incredible night. Did you see also, I want to get your take on the empty net goal. Did you see that in Nico Hischier?
No, what happened?
Nico Hischier put the empty net goal in. He skated into the net after the buzzer blew. And so they won the game, but Tkachuk took exception to that as one of those, you know, unspoken rules, like stepping across the mound type thing. And he went after him and was very upset, if you hadn't seen it, then it's hard to, maybe you don't have an opinion on it, but people think he was kind of
Brady turning into like almost a sideshow just because Ottawa's so bad and he's just the only guy who seems to be upset. And it seems like every time they're playing, they're down by two or three, and then he gets into a huge melee at the end of the game. You can almost set your clock by it. It happens every game where he's face washing someone or he's trying to fight someone or he's going after somebody and the Senators are losing. And it's just like, Brady Tkachuk loses his cool again. Is he becoming somewhat of a sideshow?
I don't think it's a bad thing. I think if anything, it reflects poorly on the rest of the team that they're not engaged the way that he is, you know? So I don't think it's bad.
Okay.
The next one, John, this one's for you. Michigan Tech, what's going on there?
Well, their season ended. They lost to the potential national champion, Boston University, the other day. So now the season's over. Boston College. So now the players are going pro. And the Pietola brothers, there's three of them on the team. Two of them has decided to go pro. The goaltender, Blake Pietola, signed with AHL Cleveland. Who is it? Cleveland Barons?
Monsters.
Yeah, he signed there. And his brother, Logan Pietola, signs with the AHL Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. A couple other guys signed in the East Coast Hockey League. And that's what happens when you're just a dominant force. You sign and you go play pro. When I was there, only one guy signed. It wasn't me. Chris Connor went and played Iowa Stars, I want to say. But yeah, very good. Congrats and good luck to those guys. I want to say one more thing, Tim. There's some news just breaking. Thomas Hertl making his debut for the Vegas Golden Knights tonight.
Ooh.
Versus the Vancouver Canucks. So keep an eye on that. Where does he slot in on this lineup? How does this team, you know, do you put him for 20 minutes right away? Do you let him ease into it? This is a big deal. If he fits, This vaults this team into Stanley Cup contention. Because right now they're not. They're a good team. But you add Thomas Hertl, second line center, third line center potentially. Put him on the wing, maybe. I don't know where they're going to put him. They already have a pretty good roster down the middle. You got Eichel, Stevenson, Carlson. They're set down the middle. So wherever he slots in will be interesting to watch. Oh, boy. playing their games again. Vegas Golden Knights, they got Hanifin in the lineup. They got Hurdle in the lineup. Maybe Stone's going to come back for the start of the playoffs. We'll see. Stay tuned. Alex Pietrangelo still out of the lineup, but this is a big deal for the Vegas Golden Knights. This is their big addition. So I'm going to be watching that game tonight. And then be watching the Eclipse. You going to check that out? Is it a total eclipse by you, Tim?
No, it's like a 90% or something like that, maybe a little bit less.
We're 88% here in Traverse City.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to try to catch it if I remember.
No, they say you can look right at it. It's fine.
Yeah. You might not see me on Wednesday then.
Yeah, but I'll hear you. It's fine. No, go check it out. It's once every 40 years it happens.
Sounds about right. There was one a few years ago. I can't keep track of it. But yeah, it's a cool event. Go check it out. Sometime around 3 o'clock Eastern. 3:15 or something.
I don't really care about it too much. I'm not a big sun guy, star guy, cosmos type of person. But some people love it. They're going to be all into it. But yeah, check it out. And check us out Wednesday. And we'll see you guys then. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.